You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, and this is Local Motion, your weekly source for what's happening in your world here on the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubenik. The Delta County Citizens for Animal Welfare and Shelter, or CAWS as they're known, works to provide shelters and resources for dogs and cats here in our part of the state. Their mission is to end the suffering of pets by cutting down the number of unwanted births and by encouraging people to adopt pets that others might not want or might not have room for. The group also focuses some of its efforts on educating Delta County residents on the importance of spaying and neutering pets. Recently, CAWS launched a capital campaign to raise money for a countywide animal shelter. Currently, there isn't such a shelter, though there are some local shelters in towns across the region. Joining me in the studio today to talk about that project and also the larger issues surrounding animal welfare in our region are Rand Kokerno, the president of the CAWS Board of Directors.
Thanks for having me.
And also Joanne Kalanek. She's the secretary of the CAWS Board of Directors and also the volunteer project manager at the animal shelter in Delta.
Hi, Travis.
Thank you both for coming in today. We really appreciate it. So, Rand, I want to start off with you. When we talked a few days ago, one of the first things that you told me was that even though we have some of these local animal shelters in our region, they're all pretty much full or near it. And I'm assuming that would include the CAWS shelter as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So is this just a recent phenomenon, or have these shelters always sort of been at their capacity?
Well, I mean, it's really a matter of the economy. People are losing their jobs, and when they don't have money to buy groceries for themselves, they're not thinking about buying groceries for their animals. So a lot of times they abandon their animal.
When you say area shelters, let's be real specific. We have no county shelter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shelter in the city of Delta. That's the one that CAWS is now running and has run for the last 2 years. There is a shelter in Cedar Edge that is being run by Friends of Cedar Edge. Basically, we patterned our modus operandi from them. They started in 2010, and a year later we took over the shelter in Delta. There are other rescue organizations, licensed organizations. Many of them are rescue groups. Delta Humane, for example, is considered a rescue group and not a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
There is Black Canyon Animal Sanctuary, which again is not termed as a shelter, although they are PACVA licensed as a shelter. They're very much more of a sanctuary kind of a situation. So it's the animal rescuing, dog and cat. Let's be specific about what it has caused us. Dog and cat rescue, domestic animal, companion animal rescue. Is really part and parcel here in Delta County. It's catch as catch can from the government standpoint, and that's why people like us have stepped in, and for the last 15 years have done animal rescue and in some ways animal control.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
animal spay and neuter.
Without a doubt, which is the core, the key to any rescue organization, population control. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Right. So I want to delve into this problem that you were mentioning of the shelter being overpopulated. But first, tell me about CAWS, the structure of the organization. I know you have a board of directors, but is this primarily a volunteer-run operation, or how does that work?
It's definitely a volunteer-run operation. We have a board of directors, and then we have volunteers. I think we have up to about 20 volunteers that help run the store, run the Bark and Bargains, do different things.
We have probably 20 hardcore, what we would call pretty dedicated.
And we just hired a new grant writer.
You are so right. I forgot. Yes. Key person.
So when it comes to the shelter being full, are you at the point where you're having to just turn people away when they bring in animals?
You bet. Where the numbers are concerned, we did a study last year using PACVA. Now, PACVA is the organization that it's a part of the Department of Agriculture. PACVA stands for Pet Animal Care Facilities Act. We're all licensed. We all need to be licensed, required to be licensed by that organization. and they do inspections and so on and so forth. We asked for, it's all public record, we asked for everyone's, in Delta County, everyone's reported numbers for 2012 to get an idea of just how many animals are in need in our community. The numbers kind of hash out like this. Last year, among all of us, we rescued approximately 850 animals among the four major groups. We estimate, now CAUSE has had last year a 55% turnaway rate.
Wow.
Basically, as people calling on the phone, I found a stray, I can't afford to keep my animal, a 55% turnaway rate.
When you say 55%, you mean that basically a little over half of the people that called in...
We could not help.
Okay.
Yep, exactly. That kind of shows you, so we're trying to come up with numbers here. So... In talking with our partner groups or the other groups that do what we do in some capacity, we estimate that there's an overall 35% to 40% turnaway rate between us all. We are all booked. So that's telling us that there are approximately 1,200 animals per year in this county that find themselves in need. Now, ASPCA says you need to add 25% to that, 20-25% to that, those numbers, because there are animals that are probably not making it into any of the system. So it's a large number. It's a large number that basically volunteers, community volunteers, for the most part, are handling.
So when it comes to those numbers, I mean, how does that rate of animals out there needing care, needing a home, needing to be rescued compare, you know, in other parts of the state, other parts of the country?
Well,
is that normal?
Well, I can tell you that in the state of Colorado last year, in shelters there was 176,000 animals that ended up in shelters. Now that's just shelters. If you look overall, rescue organizations, foster organizations, the number is more than 100,000 cats. I'm sorry, 100,000 dogs. And almost 700,000 cats overall in all rescue. Now, in shelters, you've got something in the neighborhood of 180,000 dogs and cats entering shelters. Approximately, according to PACFA reports, 82,000 were adopted and 31,000 were returned to their owners, because a lot of these organizations are also doing animal control.
Mm-hmm.
And 30,000 were put down. 30,000 were euthanized.
And a lot of those are healthy dogs that could have been adopted out.
Oh, most of them.
And the only reason they were euthanized was that there wasn't space to keep them anymore.
That's true. That is a common modus operandi for organizations that are run by governments. Your local town, Mesa County, for example, is a kill shelter and will kill for space. CAUSE is what's called an adoption guarantee facility. No kill was the old term. Adoption guarantee basically says if that animal is adoptable, i.e. they're not vicious, they're not people vicious, you know, animal vicious, and they're not extremely sick and in pain, then we will do everything we can to adopt them. But yeah, 30,000 animals in this state in 2012 were put to sleep because there was nowhere for them to go.
Right. I wanted to ask you about the condition of the animals that you see come into this shelter. Are they generally healthy? Are they sick? Are they abused? Or does it just run the gamut?
I think any animal that's been on the street for a certain amount of time is going to face some abuse and a hard life. You know, going days without maybe water or food. It's a mix, I would say, wouldn't you?
It is. It's very much a mix. It does run the gambit. Because we back up the city of Delta's police department, we do get quarantine animals. We do get evidence dogs. And some of these are horrendous cases. These are cases of abuse. We had an animal in at one point that had a collar put around his neck when he was 8 months old. Or, I'm sorry, 8 weeks old, and it wasn't taken off for 8 months. And that collar cut right into the dog's neck and had to be surgically removed. It was a horrendous situation. That dog stayed with us for 3 months before he was court-ordered released, and we found a great home for him. But it absolutely runs the gambit.
Now, we recently took in a dog that was both blind and deaf. And if you think there's any harder animal to adopt out, this would be it. But we found a great home for him, and he's happy. He has a life.
That's a great example. Many Paonians probably know him.
Yeah.
He's pure white. He was a double merle, and his owner now walks him up and down the streets of Paonia. Often takes him. I see him in the library every now and then. And yes, wonderful dog. I fostered him for a little while. That was a success story.
Every time we place an animal, it is a success.
And how successful are you at finding homes for these animals when they come in?
We've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have so many now that it's really hard to say that we're making a dent, but we're still adopting out. We still do adoption events.
Absolutely. Well, we adopt between 80 and 90% of our dogs. Cats are a tad harder. I mean, cats are looked at so differently, especially in a rural area. They're not understood to be the companion animals that they are. They're the feral cat. There's no such thing as a wild, I like to say. I mean, in my opinion, there's no such thing as a wild cat. They are a companion animal. They were bred to be our companions and our pets, and because they are used a lot in farms and barns as mousers and so on, it runs amok and has run amok with lack of spay and neuter, and hence you end up with this feral cat population. But cats cats get the short end of the stick, even though I'm a big dog lover.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the population problem. Where are all of these animals coming from, and why are there so many out there that don't have homes? I mean, that seems like such a simple question, but probably doesn't have a simple answer.
Oh, that's a big question. Go ahead.
Travis, it's a great question. Again, being in the rural community, there are certain breeds that we like, border collies.
Mm-hmm.
Border collies, I mean, a lot of times we'll see border collie and pit mixes and any derivation thereof. But border collies have large litters, often 12 puppies to a litter. In fact, Cause has a time or two has done spay neuter projects just for that breed, because when they do have puppies, it's very, very large puppies. And you know, it's you can only have so many dogs. I mean, there are ordinances in the cities and the towns. And I don't know, maybe it is it's a mindset of not understanding that a dog and a cat are companion animals. That's how they are even differentiated legally with PACFA. They're not livestock. They were bred to be our pets, our family. And I don't know that everyone feels that way about them here, and I think it's very typical of a rural kind of a situation. I don't know, Randy. What do you think there? I'm
just amazed that I hear stories of people who move and they leave their dogs, and if they can't find a place to put them, they just
cats. That's notorious. Where a realtor, I've had many calls from local realtors going in to show a house, and the family has left the cats. That happens a lot.
Do you think that maybe some of this problem about people abandoning animals or leaving them behind when they move, I mean, does it have something to do with people just not being aware of the resources they have, like your shelter and like these rescue programs, or do you think people just don't think about it?
Oh, I think that there's probably a little of both, but I do think that there's an awareness. But when you have a 35-40% turn away, you know, you go to that resource and that resource says, I can't help you. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, that's why we need a countywide shelter. We need everyone behind it, and one that can handle at any given time 100 dogs and 300 cats. I mean, we need a big shelter here, and we have nothing, really.
Explain to me what you mean exactly by it being a countywide shelter. I mean, it's, you know, another shelter, maybe it's a bigger shelter, but is the one in Delta not a countywide shelter right now? What makes that distinction?
Well, the one in Delta is a countywide shelter from the standpoint that CAUSE manages it. Otherwise, its original intent was strictly for City of Delta animals. And in fact, for the last 2 years while we've run it, we have needed to give priority to City of Delta dogs and cats. And I say countywide because CAUSE has been a countywide organization since its inception in 1998. So for 15 years, you know, we've had a focus on countywide. Excellent question, though. Many people have asked it.
So the Delta shelter is going to remain there for the meantime, and you're going to look to building this newer and bigger shelter. How much bigger and how many more animals are you hoping you'll be able to give a home to?
We basically have a four-building plan over 4 to 5 years. And each building we would start out with something very similar to what we have now, because we're basically needing isolation, which we do not have now. The city shelter has a very little office space, and it has a 12 kennel dog kennel situation, very little room to run, and so on, and I believe a 10 cat condo situation. We would start off with something very similar to that to begin with. Our first phase would have office space, isolation space, and the second phase would have 25 to 30 kennels. The third phase would have closer to 50 cat kennels, and the fourth phase would have another 30 to 50 kennels for dogs. So it's multiplying the our abilities by sevenfold easy.
So we're going to have this newer, bigger shelter. Do you have any idea of where exactly it's going to be? Is it going to be in Delta or any town in particular?
We want something that's fairly centrally located, and the possible sites that we're looking at right now are around Austin.
Austin and Reed. Yes, we've looked at several possibilities. DMEA has recently approached us with a possible parcel in Reed that they have. There's another in Austin that we're really looking at that's 11 acres with a small house on it. Yeah, we it's really important for us to be centrally located and easily accessed, and not just for the public, but we've got to be a resource to area animal control. Each town has a very small capacity. No one has got an animal control officer except the city of Delta, and that's part-time, and the city of Cedar Ridge, and that's part-time. We need to be there to augment their programs, and we've got to be centrally located for them as well.
Are the costs of any of this new project going to be coming from the county, or is this all independent fundraising that's going to put this shelter together?
The county does give us a small grant for spay and neuter. Other than that, at this point, no, they aren't offering funds, but both the city of, the city of Hotchkiss has offered land, and the county, Delta County, has offered possible land too. We've just not found the right parcel yet. They do what they can. I mean, this is a very poor county.
Do you hear a lot of public demand for a bigger shelter? I mean, are people, frustrated when they can't rescue this animal that they're trying to help out?
People find a dog will just show up on their front doorstep. They'll immediately put it on Facebook, on the Paonia message board. And this last time that a lady lost a dog, she got a dog back in 3 days. But that's the good news stories. A lot of times they don't get found, and they're just nobody knows what happens to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure our shelter manager would love to answer this question, because she's the one who has to field the irate. Well, what am I going to do? I can't keep this dog. I can't keep this cat. I'm drowning in cats. Or You know, she fields messages and conversations like that every single day.
Right.
So, yeah, I would definitely say that, that there is a level of frustration out there. Yeah. Is there a mandate? If there isn't, there sure should be.
And what kind of sort of public outreach or education do you guys try to do as an organization? And I ask because I found a dog yesterday morning running down towards the highway. And I picked him up and didn't really know what to do with him. And I was sort of in the same situation, like, oh, you know, great, now I've got this dog. And if I don't find his owner, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this. And, you know, asking around, I found the owner pretty quickly. But what kind of outreach do you try to do just to let people know, like, here's your first option?
It's a matter of priority. We do our best to keep our name out there, to keep that resource out there. But we spend a lot of our time just with the day-to-day animal rescuing. And perhaps we could, I admittedly could do a much better job. You find an animal in the city as opposed to outside the city limits. It's handled very, very differently if you were to call your local police department. That's the first question they're going to ask you is, where did you find this animal? It's because they've had to be very, very careful. They just don't have the funds. So if the animal was found in the county, then you call the county sheriff, and the county sheriff says, call cause.
That brings me to a question I wanted to ask you about this overpopulation problem in general, you know, both just with not having enough room in the shelter and also just having these animals everywhere that don't have homes. You know, one approach obviously is, you know, you build a bigger shelter, you have more space, you have more resources to deal with these animals. But I mean, do you put just as much effort into, like you said, educating people on spaying and neutering? Because, you know, it seems like if some other sort of cultural things change, then we wouldn't have to have a bigger shelter.
Remember that animal population is a national issue. So spaying and neutering is, I think, highly publicized nationally. I do believe that we put at least as much effort into getting that word out. I think that Cause built its reputation on our spay-neuter voucher program. And I think we continue to, because, as I said earlier, it is the foundation of any rescue organization. Just to give you a little bit of history about Cause and how it started, in 1998, it began under the name of Animal Shelter of Delta County. And that building a shelter was its original goal, finding that wasn't so easy in this county for a lot of reasons, money being the biggest, obviously. It evolved into a foster rescue, a kind of an organization, and spay-neuter was kind of a no-brainer. You really had to do something about controlling area populations, or you were just going to see them in your foster homes or in your shelters.
I'm just wondering, with the building of this new facility, are you also going to be expanding any of these services or educational programs or voucher programs that you offer?
Probably so. You know, I mean, it'll depend on what we have income to do. The first priority is going to be sheltering and taking care of animals. And if the county really gets in back of us, you know, yeah, we'll take it further.
I think by the very nature of expanding into a bigger shelter, that the other programs will have to grow with it. The sort of you build it and they come kind of a thought. I think that it adds credibility to a group. It adds credibility to a community. I mean, to be honest with you, grantors out there want to know that the community is behind your program.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. I'm joined in the studio by two members of the Cause Board of Directors, the Delta County Citizens for Animal Welfare and Shelter. And we've been talking about some issues with animal populations, specifically dogs and cats, here in Western Colorado, animal overpopulation issues, really. I've been speaking with Rand Kokerno. He's the president of the CAUSE Board of Directors, and Joanna Kalanek, who's the secretary of the board and also the volunteer manager of the shelter in Delta. I just want to thank y'all both so much for coming in. And as I understand it, you have some sort of engagement event coming up to sort of educate people about the new shelter. What's the deal with that?
We're throwing a benefit, and we're calling it the Critter Banquet Benefit and Fur Ball next Saturday on the 23rd. And it's an announcement to the community that CAUSE is kicking off this capital campaign and that we're wanting to educate the community about how much we need them to help us do this.
And that's taking place at the Blue Sage, right?
Correct, yes.
Starting at 6 p.m. 6 o'clock. Saturday the 23rd.
Yep.
Well, thank you so very much for joining us again. I've been speaking with Rand Kokerno, the board president of CAUSE, and Joanne Kalanek. She's the secretary of the board, also the volunteer manager at the animal shelter in Delta. Thanks again, guys, for coming in.
Thank you, Travis.
You're listening to Local Motion here on KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. Remember, if you missed any of today's episode or you'd like to hear old episodes of the program, you can just visit us online at kvnf.org.
Come on, child, work it out. Woo! Ah, yeah. Do the...